Welcome to Fieldswell. This is where curiosity meets possibility. Here, we explore what it takes to create a life you genuinely love, from entrepreneurship and health to relationships, mindset, and purpose. I'm Lauren Fields, founder of Fieldswell, and I'm inviting you behind the scenes as we have conversations with people who are redefining what's possible. It's time to feel well and send it. Jasper Calcara, welcome to Fieldswell.
Yeah, great to be here.
So pumped to have you and for this conversation, because we're going to spend the next 45 minutes or so unpacking a specific topic, and that is embracing discomfort.
Yep. And sitting here and feeling comfortable in this type of space, ready to talk about discomfort, is where we're
feeling
at.
Comfortable for now.
Yes, we'll see. Challenge me.
Buckle up, listeners, and I want you to challenge me right back.
You know me.
So before we get into all of that, We always start with the $1 million question, which is, what does feeling well mean to you?
I mean, feeling well to me is really just the journey that I've been on, which is being able to embrace the true version of who I am. That is well. That is comfort. Comfort is not hiding anything. Comfort is in healing those things, embracing those things, and those things empowering you to reach your true potential.
Do you believe you have to get uncomfortable to feel well?
I believe you do, actually. I think that it's the warning signs of areas that need to be embraced. It gives you the strength and the new information to move to your next stage in your life and wherever you're trying to improve.
You've spent a majority of your adult life as an engineer solving really complex problems. Were you always someone who was comfortable with discomfort, or did that take time to learn?
I think it comes down to the categories of discomfort. So I see them as kind of three main categories. You've got this discomfort that you carry and that you hide. And that was a big part of my story that I'm telling these days. You know, I wasn't true to myself. I was wearing, you know, armor, the Superman complex, to hide the things I didn't truly feel strong enough. You know, so I think a lot of us go through that, where we're hiding and then we've got this discomfort wrapped around that. And it shows itself in many different ways. So then you have the discomfort, which is you want to build a new skill set, or you want to challenge yourself, like growing a muscle. You go through this layer of discomfort and you come out the other side with some new strength, new viewpoint, whatever it is. And the last category of discomfort is when you're sensing danger and you just need to get away from that. So we won't talk much about that one. But the other two have just been a core staple of my career.
What were you hiding under that Superman suit? So maybe our listeners can understand what they may be experiencing based off what you went through.
I was able to kind of reach and exceed every goal, dream I'd ever set for myself professionally and essentially, I thought, personally. You know, I was able to help build an engineering company that was the top of the industry, worked throughout in all of North America for decades, incredible reputation, working on in really fun and interesting, exciting projects, from the Olympics to the Golden Gate Bridge and many others. And through that, I had this persona of Superman. I was there to save and solve every problem everybody had. And in that environment, it served me very well. I was able to accomplish incredible things. But over time, just like anybody, and in the structures that I work on, you know, cracks developed, you know, weaknesses show themselves. Well, the funny thing is in work, we wouldn't ever let those cracks go unattended. In my business, they'd never go unattended. In the projects, they'd never go unattended. But for me and for many of us, they do. And when they start to show themselves in our personal life, most likely in our closest relationships. And so it was that Superman complex and armor that was hiding those things that I truly needed to heal. I was unable to share what I was hiding because I couldn't personally even acknowledge it. We lie to ourselves. We build walls and armor so thick that we can't even get in touch with what it is. We can see the outcome. I knew I was unhappy. I knew I was uncomfortable. I knew I was making people uncomfortable and unhappy. And I carried shame over that. I carried regrets, which many people do. But then you sit back and you don't even know what to do about it. You get lost. So for me, when I finally got to my breaking point, which we can explore, and I decided to truly heal, it took acknowledging those cracks. For me, the cracks were lack of self-worth, anxiety, shame, a lot of things people carry.
And through achieving success in business, do you feel like for a while you maybe were able to cover up those cracks, or were they there all along?
Well, they're definitely there all along, but I think a lot of us use business and professional success to cover them or to compensate or temporarily fill them. You know, we tend to in our society, you know, uplift professional success as being so important. And, you know, nowadays I love that trying to grow and to build healthier lives is more in the general conversation, but it's still tough. Professional success rules. So we go into those places to prove ourselves. And in those places where the negative things give positive results can kind of skew things in your head to where you're constantly able to convince yourself that they're not that unhealthy.
Looking back, if you could kind of redo it and more so acknowledge and come to terms with those cracks in the moment, what would you have noticed or done differently?
I mean, a lot of people have asked me that, you know, what would you have done differently? Do you regret it? What would you have told your younger self? And I think the most important thing that I carry is I don't carry regrets. And I think that's the most important thing that in people that have healed or have had loss is that you can't sit here carrying regrets or shame over things that you were just doing the best that you could. So that's a core thing, because that's, I carry that through business. A mistake happens, we address it. We give it the weight it needs and we learn from it, we move on. Same thing here. So I can't beat myself up and constantly, oh my gosh, I wish. But if I had a mentor at that moment that really would have pushed me deeper and said, look, in your professional life, things are pretty incredible. You don't put up with anything. A weakness in your business, a weakness in whatever, you don't put up with it. You address it. What's all this friction going on in your personal life? Why is it happening year after year? Why aren't you addressing that? You know, and someone that really challenged me to think and consider earlier, or even present it to, like I presented, what if you think that building's going to last with all these growing cracks? If that collapses, what do you lose? Who does it impact?
Exactly. Like you said, if there's a bridge with cracks in it, you better address that as soon as possible. We ignore things we know have cracks in them. Why are we so like trained, all of us, to want to avoid discomfort when discomfort is the real thing that can help us grow and help us find solutions?
I mean, I'm not a professional in this space. I have a lot of theories, you know, but discomfort, the first version that we talked about or we mentioned, which is just sensing danger and getting away from that, right? I don't know. Maybe we confuse all these different types of discomfort and it's easiest to put into that category and just move away. But those that really have proven to embrace discomfort consistently and strategically are the people that I've seen have done the most incredible things in their lives. But it's a global addressing discomfort. You can't just pick and choose and I'm going to address discomfort, which means I'm going to go to the gym 3 hours a day, every day, and be this incredibly strong version of myself. But then all the emotional discomfort is ignored, right? My point is it's a holistic approach to discomfort.
For sure. I mean, one area of your life could be going so well. That doesn't mean everything's going well. And it can look from the outside that everything's great, maybe because your business is super successful, but we're all multifaceted and have so many different arenas that need to be addressed.
Yeah, I mean, we all get so good at protecting ourselves, presenting a version of ourselves that we wish we could be, so that people around us start to believe that version of you. And that's what I lived constantly. Everybody thought I was just so capable. I would solve every problem. I was Superman, like I said. So they supported that instead of questioning when they saw behavior that didn't represent that. They would say, oh, he'll figure it out, right? Or I can forgive this behavior because I trust him so much. And I think that's the problem, is the people around us get just as misled as we mislead ourselves.
What was the breaking point for you?
Yeah, so the breaking point for me, I tell in a quick story of essentially, so I built all this professional success and, you know, the first earthquake hit me just like it, you know, it hits buildings and bridges and it can do damage or it can bring the whole structure down. So tragically, I lost my business partner, my mentor, my really close friend in a tragic car accident. This was just 2 weeks after my first child was born. And in that moment, I didn't collapse, but I went right into fight or flight, like so many of us do in those moments of extreme danger and loss. And I put on my Superman costume and I just was committed to save everybody. But so much damage was done that wasn't addressed. Like so many of us, we just move into the next thing. We don't heal. We don't address it. And so then I just carry through the next, I don't know, 7 or 8 years of taking on more stress, more pressure. Well, a building that is have damage and you're taking more pressure, more stress is more danger. So I was growing my company. I was growing my family. I was showing this life that was perfect. And then I lost my marriage. I lost everything that I had been building it for. You know, it all came crashing down. And it was in that moment that I had to make a really, really difficult choice. And I chose to finally heal.
Wow. I have chills. That one moment where you realize I can't keep living like this. It's finally time for me to address the cracks. What do I need to do to heal and to change?
Yeah.
And is that the very moment that you finally took your Superman suit off?
It was a step towards that. So what I did in that moment, and it was the deepest, darkest, most painful moment of my life. It truly was. And I could see a version of my future if I didn't heal. It was a version that where I would destroy my ex. My kids are lost in the middle. I'm a shell of a person afterwards doing damage in this world. I've seen the blueprint of that. I've seen that play out so many times. And as angry, sad, and, you know, all the feelings that you feel, embarrassed, in that moment, I saw that future and I just refused. I was like, I could not live with myself if I let that happen. I have a family that I care about. So it was in that moment that I said, okay, well, what can I do? I'm an engineer. I solve problems. So from the decades of building this business and working on literally thousands of engineering projects, there really was a framework kind of hidden in everything I had done. I was like, I was committed to apply that same framework to this healing process.
Tell us about the framework.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out how to kind of name it, but it all crystallized down to I call be good, do good, and evolve. So the be good stage, you know, we talk about taking care of ourselves emotionally, physically, spiritually, but this was in this moment, being good meant acknowledging the cracks I was carrying, right? Truly forgiving myself, shedding the shame around them, committing to doing really hard work and holding myself accountable. So that stabilized me. It's just like a project. If I was working on a giant building or bridge, I have to have the best team in place, right? I can't put the wrong people blind to themselves and risk this outcome. So it's the same thing in anything we build. So I was like, I got to get myself in order first. Then you're committing to do it for the right reason. So that's the do good. I was committed to everything I was going to do was going to be in the best interest of my children, my team at work, my family, even my ex, so that inevitably when I would get off track, you know, we start to spiral, we want to do destructive things, this would always bring me back to center because I was doing it for them at all times. And when you are committed to others ahead of yourself, then you can do incredible things. I mean, that's obviously proven in society all the time. And then finally was this evolve one, which is kind of the discomfort. Discomfort is scattered through all of these things, but evolve is especially complicated because evolving is doing new things you've never done before. So what I had to do in that moment, which I'm sure many of your audience can relate to, is to truly ask for and accept help, right? How hard is it for us to ask for help?
It's really hard because we're so proud and so prideful that we want to act like we can do it all, especially when you're super ambitious and an entrepreneur. You're like, I can do everything. I love how I do it. But one of the greatest skills is being able to ask for help, and it makes others feel so good to be able to help you.
100%. It's such a gift. I tell that to my team all the time that, you know, look, ask for help from your teammates. That is a gift you're giving to them. And think of it that way. Because even, you know, them, when you're collaborating on really complex projects, if you're not honest with yourself and able to ask for help, the project has a less likely chance of succeeding. Same in this project of rebuilding me. So I asked for help for the first time truly ever. And I went out and got the specialist that I needed to help me heal. Same thing. Anything we're building, you have to have the right specialist. And if you're not the specialist and you can't lie to yourself that you are. So I found the right people to help me heal. And so that was a three-step process, the structure that I followed.
Who did you seek out to help you heal?
So in that case, you know, I knew I was managing self-worth issues and anxiety issues. So I had to find the right doctors that specialize in that. And I think so many people struggle. Let's talk about discomfort. So a lot of people are committed to healing something. So number one is the commitment's first step. That's a tough one. That's uncomfortable. So now you've made that first step forward, which is committing. The second step is to go out and find the help that you need. That's uncomfortable. Who wants to make a bunch of calls to doctors or support systems?
Can you help me?
Yeah. Interview them, yeah. Sit down and bare your soul and then realize this is not the right fit, move on or get stuck. So the process of finding help is really uncomfortable. But when you find the right, I found the right people at the right time and they changed my entire life. So what I learned from that is that in times after, I realized that I had to find the right support for the right need at the right moment, and I couldn't be lazy about it. I had to go explore, and that's, again, is exploring discomfort.
It's tricky because I feel like a therapist or coach can only help you as much as you're able to reveal about your own truth.
Absolutely. But I also really feel like some therapists, doctors, and others, coaches, mentors, they have a lane. They have a specialty. And some of them, it's hard for them to admit that that's not their lane. And that's tough for somebody that's asking for help. So for me, it's like anything, you need to really make sure that you're pressing that support system in the right way. Be honest with them on what do you want out of this? Be as clear as possible. Commit to the process. I've even asked doctors and therapists and everything, like, this is the problem. Is this a specialty of yours? Have you had experience? Have you had success?
And you know, so few people ask these such important mm-hmm. questions. And I think what gives you the courage is that commitment piece, that commitment to change, that mm-hmm. commitment to do the work on yourself, and then to go and interview and find the best person to help you. And don't take that lightly. That's very serious that you find someone incredible who does have experience in exactly what you need help with.
Look at the amount of time, effort, money, emotion, discomfort you're investing. You got to hold them just as accountable as you're holding yourself. I think that we're intimidated by doctors and people in these specialized positions, but they are there to help you and they are not perfect humans. So we have to go into that with an agenda of finding the right support system.
So my father always said, you're either growing or you're dying. And I'm mm-hmm. sure that's probably a quote from somewhere that he mm-hmm. took it, but evolve or repeat. And mm-hmm. I love this, be good, do good, evolve. Do you feel like one of those steps causes more discomfort than the other, or that they all kind of are going to feel different for each person going through?
I think they're going to feel different. Everyone is going to have some semblance of discomfort, right? And they're going to have different intensities of discomfort, really depending on your wiring and what you're trying to solve and what you've healed in the past, right? Like, so for me, I feel incredibly comfortable really bearing my cracks and being vulnerable. That was not easy historically, right? That would have been the top of the list and uncomfortable. So it really is where you are in this stage of growth and evolving.
I have found so much healing in sharing my truth and mm-hmm. my story. And we avoid it for so long, but oftentimes that's what's causing the most discomfort, is not sharing it, because it all gets bottled up inside of us. It's this huge release when you can finally just say, here's who I am.
Yes. It's a weight lifted, right?
Huge weight lifted. And I feel like that's when you attract the people who are meant to be in your life, the ones who can hear you, see mm-hmm. you, and still accept you for who you are. That's where we have this one life. Why not own that?
Absolutely. I mean, it's been the most freeing thing I've ever gone through. It's allowed me to do things I never thought I could do. I've gained skills that have helped me across my entire life, not just building personal well-being, but incredible professional successes that I wouldn't have been able to reach without that vulnerability and that skill set. So it just gives you so many gifts, but the point is it's very difficult.
So you went from experiencing discomfort to seeking it out. You did this challenge, this year of discomfort, this decade challenge. It's one of my favorite stories of yours. Share a bit with our audience about what that looked like.
So I was coming out of a lot of this healing. And even with a lot of healing, you can get back into new unhealthy cycles. New things show up. You can backslide. It all happens. You gotta forgive yourself. So I'd healed the self-worth part, or worked on healing the anxiety, trying to manage it in a much healthier way, building this professional life. But now I'm here alone, you know, with three children, raising them, young children, trying to balance building a business and trying to pick them up every pickup and drop off and game that I was so committed to being a part of their lives. So as many parents and most people in this world do, we sacrifice ourselves. So I found myself digging myself a deeper and deeper hole. And I realized it really hit me when my oldest moved off to college, and I just hadn't managed what that would feel like. So in that moment, it really hit me hard. So I sat there and I thought, I was like, okay, I always plan ahead in my business, right? I'm thinking five steps ahead in what my business need, my team needs, the project needs. I'm like, what do I need? So I sat there and I thought, okay, what's coming up next? Well, few big things. One, my daughter is going to be moving to college. I'm flying her out next week. So this was 2 years ago. Incredibly intense. I'm facing turning 50. I didn't even know how to reconcile what that meant. And also, I love my career, but my role in my business and the fulfillment I get out of it is changing and evolving. So I'm like, these are some big things coming up. How am I going to handle them in a healthy way? So I came up with this idea. I was like, how about this? Between my 49th and 50th birthday, I'm going to do as many uncomfortable things as I can. I started by calling it my 50 bucket list, but it really just turned into my year of discomfort.
Talk to us about some of the experiences that you put yourself through or that you had the opportunity to experience throughout this one dedicated year of your life.
Yeah, so I'm organized, I'm disciplined, so I made a list, and I wanted to challenge myself in as many different areas as possible. So, you know, some of the ones that might be a little bit more boring, but I wanted to test myself in, you know, in health, you know, in eating habits, and try going, you know, vegetarian for 100 days or no sugar for 100 days or whatever. I like this 50 and 100. I kept throwing it around as much as possible, you know, go to 50 yoga classes. And this, my real goal in them were trying to see what it would give me and also trying new things and long enough to see if they'll end up being a regular part of your future. I think that's a hugely important thing. People commit to things, but not long enough. So by holding myself accountable for this list and this year, there was no excuses. Every day I had a chance to sit down and waste time. Nope, I got so many things to do.
There were dance classes.
Yeah, so that was probably one of the most uncomfortable. If somebody's like, what's the most uncomfortable? They want to hear stories like Half Dome and stuff, which was incredible for me. But that was one of the most uncomfortable things. I was sitting there after work on my couch, and I was like, I know if I don't get up, I'm just going to melt into a wasted night. I was like, what is the most uncomfortable thing I can do? I was like, well, I could go take a dance class. I mean, what's even more uncomfortable than that? Having a Latin dance class.
Alone.
Yes. So yeah. I went and did a, you know, a salsa lesson, and again, walked in just stiff as a board, mortified like we all are. And then what I love to do is push people out of their comfort zone in these types of exercises. And I love to notice their body language and what they're saying, how they're saying it before. I like to watch them during, and I like to watch them after. And I noticed with myself, it was showing up in my physical body. And as the dance class was going on, I'm having more fun. I'm loosening up. I'm talking more. I'm laughing more. And then walking to my car going like, I felt incredible. So, I mean, it's the silliest little thing. One dance class.
So much of it is what we build up in our minds about what the experience is about to be. This is new. This is uncomfortable. I don't want to do this. I'm not good at this. But then you have so much fun.
Yes. So you do gain this ability to embrace discomfort. The more you embrace it, you actually, it's kind of like, and probably this runner's high where you start to want that when you felt that so much and you start to miss it a little bit. So I think that having gone through that year, it challenged me in so many different ways, but one of the major gifts it gave me is wanting to continue to implement discomfort into my life on a regular basis.
Was it when you were at Esalen? Mm-hmm. That you really felt like you took your Superman suit off?
Yeah. So the very first thing I did to kind of kick this off was I signed up for a creative writing yoga workshop, no phones for a week on the cliffs of Big Sur. You know, I was like, that'll get me out there. So I walked into that space with a complete open heart on what this is going to be. I really engaged with it. It was an incredible week, bonded with a lot of really amazing people. And we were supposed to, on the final night, share our writings. And I sat there And I was listening one after another, people just bearing their heart and their soul, you know, oh my gosh, they carried so much. And I just remember feeling like every word was like sticking to me. And I was just feeling it weigh me down heavier and heavier. I literally couldn't get up and share myself by the end of the night. I was so drained, so overwhelmed. And the next morning I sat there on the cliffs alone, looking at the ocean saying, what was that? I mean, and finally saying, I can't do this anymore. I can't carry this weight. I cannot save the world. So I literally imagined a casket in the ocean floating towards the horizon with my Superman costume in there. And I kind of just repeated to myself, this is the death of Superman. This is the death of Superman. And, you know, closing my eyes and say, you can't save the world. All you can do is try to help it. And that's why I'm in the seat right now.
It is why you're in that seat. Yep. And I'm so happy to have you in that seat. And wow, what a story, what a mission. And to watch you over the past few months really step into this vision of yourself where you're speaking, you're podcasting, you're writing, you're wanting to make an impact and help so many other people.
Yeah, it's been incredible. I equate it to, I wanted to talk real quickly about what comfort gives you. So I was so comfortable in my role in my business, and I still am. Complete confidence. What does confidence give you? What do you get when you aren't hiding cracks and deficiencies and you're not compensating? So when you're not compensating for things and you trust yourself and you prove things, you can accomplish anything. That's how I've navigated my entire career. I mean, I've had to show up to project sites and shut down huge bridges at like 23 years old, right? That was so uncomfortable. But breaking through that and gaining, you know, confidence and then knowing I can navigate all these problems, it's proven through my success what it gives you when you aren't hiding and compensating for things. So that I call comfort, as we said at the very beginning of this interview, right? So now I'm seeing it in the exact same way in this space. I have opened up and healing all those things that I was having to compensate for that was causing so much destruction in my personal life. And I am so empowered and so confident navigating this space just like I did in work, because I'm really honest with myself. In that space, if I wasn't 100% confident I had a solution that was going to work, I was willing to pivot. In this space, same thing. I'm getting the feedback from audiences that what I have to share truly matters, will actually help them. So it gives me the utmost confidence to push forward.
And I think so much of it we bring it back to is in trusting ourselves, mm-hmm. in terms of how much risk we are willing to take on, in terms of betting on ourselves, in terms of showing up and doing the hard thing. Do I trust that if I go for it, maybe it doesn't work out according to plan, will I be okay?
Absolutely. It's a trust mixed with empathy and understanding of the world around you. So that's the do-good part. So like if you just have ultimate trust in yourself, you can still wreak havoc on the world, right? So I feel like that's the beautiful part of it, is even me in speaking about this stuff, is that I trust myself to be vulnerable, to be honest, to not let my ego drive me even in positions where ego can kind of take control. And part of that means that is if I am focused on the goal, and we've talked about goals in the past, my goal is to help as many people as possible, period. That is the goal. So if my message, my skills, whatever it is not going to reach that goal, I'm willing to pivot. I'm willing to adjust. And that's the do-good part, because I'm doing it for them and not doing it for me.
Always be willing to pivot and adjust.
Absolutely.
For our listeners who maybe feel like they're too comfortable, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and they're afraid to lean in or seek more discomfort, what are some questions, maybe some challenging, uncomfortable questions they should be asking them?
I think it depends. So I think many of us, I get asked a lot, like, well, how can I find my cracks, right? So if I'm going to go to a building or bridge and try to find out where the damage is, right? Sometimes you walk up and there it is, obvious. And some of us carry that so obviously, and we're so in touch with it. Great, that's step one. Now you can go on to step two. A lot of us, again, we bury it so deep. So really finding those cracks and what it is that you carry and being honest is the only, you have to do that before you can lean into discomfort for healing. it's never going to be unhealthy for you to go embrace discomfort and have growth. But what I like to talk about is if we can pair the right challenge, the right issue with the right discomfort approach, whatever we want to call it, activity, then I think you're going to have the biggest breakthrough. So I want people to try to get in touch with what are their goals or what are areas they want to improve and what's the true core reason why they need to improve or why they want to meet this goal.
How do we know the difference between discomfort that's asking us to grow and discomfort that something really isn't right for us?
I think that it shows in the people around us. I think it shows in our most close personal relationships because we can be a version of ourselves out in public that we can't carry through our home life. We really can't. So we always laugh, you know, with our children, they're the best versions of themselves at friends' house and school and they fall apart at home. Well, we do that as adults. You know, you have to keep it together at school. At work. So that's what I say is look at where do you continue to see friction in your personal relationships, whether it's with your parents, your siblings, your spouse, your kids, your whatever. And that's going to be likely a crack that you can start to investigate.
Where can you not be yourself? And where are you trying to be someone that you're not?
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. I think almost all of us face that at one point or another. If you can be honest with yourself or get feedback from others, if you have close friends, like ask them, where do you think I don't show up, you know, authentically? That's a tough question.
How often do you ask that one?
Have you asked a friend that recently?
I have not, but I will.
Good.
No, I'm open to some feedback. If you guys have any feedback, let me know.
Yeah.
I'm curious for you, you know, reflecting on that place you were in where everything just came crashing down. And the man you aspire to be now and that you're working so hard to become, how would you explain kind of the difference between those two versions of yourself?
I can explain it in just saying it feels like freedom. It just, someone asked me that, I think it was on the 4th of July, people were sharing, what's your definition of freedom? And I literally said that because that was the first thing that came to mind. I feel free of so much that I was hiding and caring and compensating for. It's exhausting. And so many people are exhausted, but they keep doing the same thing. So I tell people that, you know, when you're just so frustrated with the same problem, you know, most people push harder against it or they shut down. Fight or flight almost shows up almost in everything. So I just keep telling people, take space, because in that year of discomfort, that 50 list, I spent a lot of time doing nothing. And that was so uncomfortable, right? No phones, no social media, you know, all these things that put me in a place to have to just be with myself. And that's where, you know, you truly being up with myself is still uncomfortable, but it's a different type of uncomfortable. So I can kind of compare that. I think that's a good metric, is pay attention to different stages in your life. If you do embrace stillness, quietness, disconnection, how uncomfortable you feel and what it is. As you make growth, it's a different type. It's not as intense. It's a little bit healthier.
We put so much pressure on ourselves to have it all together and have it all figured out. Mm-hmm. It's okay to accept that we're doing the best we can.
Absolutely. You got to forgive yourself.
Self-forgiveness. We're taught forgive others, but we really aren't taught how to forgive ourselves.
Yep. Be good. You're
selling it. Be good, Jasper. Anything else before we ask our final podcast question that you want to leave our listeners with today?
Yeah, I just want to challenge people that discomfort is something that we are being trained to avoid at all costs. Like everything around us is about easy. And what is that costing us? I was laughing with a friend about like our tolerance for discomfort is shrinking. You know, we used to buy food, prep it, cook it. We burn it. We get a little bit frustrated. Now DoorDash is 5 minutes late. We're upset. He replies like, yeah, I had to ask Alexa twice for a song to come in and I got all mad. So if our tolerance for discomfort is shrinking, and there's nothing more important these days than to grow with the world around us being so scary, I just really want to challenge people to really give it a try and do it with people. If you need to, seek out communities that are doing that. I love to try to cultivate spaces where we can do it together. And that's something that actually, you know, we're working on more and more these days.
It's true.
Yep.
A whole discomfort experience.
Yep.
Workshop, yep. Potentially retreat, so people can come and explore what discomfort looks like for them and see how much discomfort they can take on and what that does.
Absolutely. I've never met anybody that has gone through the right type of you know, discomfort that didn't just feel incredible afterwards. And we all deserve to feel that. It's what inspires us to keep growing. And if we don't have that fuel, we shut down.
When I first started Fields Well and opened our headquarters, you know, the focus was coaching on wellness, mindset, and entrepreneurship. And what I found clients struggled with the most was sending it, putting themselves out there, taking action towards what they really wanted in life. And so we wrap up every podcast conversation with the question of, what does send it mean to you?
I mean, the first thing that comes to mind, sending it just means being your authentic self. We keep, you know, touching on that, but there's nothing more sending it about life than to move forward as yourself. As painful as that is, as vulnerable as that puts you, the world will accept you. People that matter and care about you will help you. There are tools and resources to make the strongest version of who you are. So sending it to me means go out, get uncomfortable, heal what you need to heal, and build a life you can be proud of.
Vulnerability is strength.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Jasper, where can our listeners find you and follow along?
Yeah, so they can find me pretty much on most of the socials. Just search my first and last name, Jasper Calcara. My website's jaspercalcara.com. All my socials are linked there, and I'll be announcing more information about upcoming book and workshops and resources, because I'm just about giving tools. I want to give people as many tools as they can to take one step forward.
Incredible. Well, it's such an honor to have you, and I can't wait to follow along and keep supporting you as you grow, send it, be good, do good, and evolve.
I appreciate it.